evening, everybody. Hannah Stanley with you. So good to be back. Man, am I excited about tonight's show. I've got Vivian here with me. Don is in the newsroom, and then we've got Roger Badish coming up too. This has been great. And by the way, is the weather trying to even, like, is it trying to up its average? That's what I think it's doing. The weather is acting a little bit like a college freshman.
Petulant child.
Yes. Like, they completely messed around first quarter because they were new to school and they wanted to get their party on and they didn't get up for classes. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, man, my folks are going to see this report card. So I think weather is going, oh, shoot, our average is going to be way too low.
Catching up.
We have to correct. We have to go so far to the extreme so our average will be decent.
It's trying for us. The weather is trying for us.
Yes, it is very. It is very trying. And that's what. It is. The weather is very trying.
I am here for it, though. I've been waiting for this weather. Well, not the rain, but
no. But and you know what? It's nice. It's not bad to get a schvitz on. That's okay.
Yeah,
it's not terrible.
And I mentioned last night that I was at the King County Cougars game waiting for Shay Meyer. By the way, look her up. She's an incredibly talented singer, and she's going into seventh grade. She's amazing. So I was waiting for her for the rain delay to end / storm delay so that she could sing the national anthem. And you know what? Follow me on social media. Go on Instagram or on Facebook. I have it posted. A clip, actually, not the whole thing, but a clip of the national anthem. She did a great job.
I'll check it out.
Yeah. But it was so muggy. And I said, you know how great this is? Our pores are going to be so clear. We are going to have the best skin ever.
There's positives everywhere if you look.
You have to look. You have to look. So coming up on the show tonight, we're going to talk about cryotherapy. If you have questions about cryotherapy, if you don't know what cryotherapy is, let me know. But you're seeing these shops, storefronts pop up all over. And we've been hearing about this in medical spas for a long time. But now they're all over. All over. They're becoming the nail salon of the strip mall.
Oh, yeah.
So 312. 981-7200 is the text. That's going to be coming up at 10:30. Have you ever worked out next to a ninja warrior?
I can't believe I have. No.
Yeah, no, I did. I have. And that's a thing that's going to get talked about. But really, ninja warrior as a show, but more importantly as a sport, really an interesting commentary on our society. And something I get where people would say, oh, it's television, it's during the summer, it's not something we're doing. That's great. But I really would love people's opinions. A Ninja Warrior as a sport, as a spectator sport, do you go and watch these events? Is this something you aspire to? And I've got some reasons why I think these are the people that we should be looking up to and we should be supporting. That's going to be coming up on the show. And let me think what else. Leading with Courage Academy. That's going to be incredible. Man was laid off. Couldn't find a job. Made a company. He's
amazing.
Great. Yeah, and is helping others find work and has books published on how your success. Just incredible stuff. And then, if you were worried about a diagnosis, and they were saying, you'll get your results Thursday. It's Monday. Wouldn't you love if the phone rang on Wednesday? And they went, yeah. You're good. You're clear. Everything's fine. False alarm. Glad we checked. So all of those things are going to be discussed on the show this evening. Plus a handbag of other things. A handbag? I don't know what I'm talking about.
You want to go shopping? Let's go shopping. I'd love to go shopping. Haven't gone shopping
in a
while.
Is it a designer handbag? a grab bag. That's what I'm trying to say. A grab bag. Couple big things happened today. Nets being extended. Our government officials, Tammy Duckworth among them, calling on baseball MLB, all of the parks, because the White Sox are going to do it, God bless them, to extend those nets to the foul poles. And this is something that I think, I love it. I think it's a great idea. But is this going to be something that's going to make you more comfortable going to baseball? Because it is tough to take kids and sit and watch the entire game while you're trying to watch them, making sure, you know, 100 things don't happen during the game. They're fidgeting. They're doing all kinds of things. But then you're also trying to watch the game to make sure a ball or, you know, a hit or a rogue piece of bat doesn't fly in and hit you or the kids or your neighbor, for that matter. So this is something that really has both sides. I can see where people go, it kind of sucks. I don't like sitting behind the net. It mm-hmm. interrupts my view. But at what point is it safe?
Right. So, somebody made the point that the most expensive seats in the house are behind home plate, and those yep. have always had a net in front of them.
Yep.
So clearly it doesn't ruin the experience.
No, and you, some of the other, I've been to ball fields where the net actually goes up. Didn't it used to at Wrigley? Where it extended up, like back over the seats. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I've seen that before.
Okay, I feel like it used to at Wrigley as well. And then they used to play this like music when it would when something would hit, and then as it like rolled down.
How did it go again?
I don't know that I can. I think that's copywritten.
Yeah, you're
so
right.
I don't want to get us in trouble for doing that again.
That's fair.
But that's something we're going to talk about a little bit later too. So tons of things I want your commentary on. We are already looking at your texts and the calls. 312-981-7200. We're going to take a quick break and come back. You know what? Do we want to talk about baseball nets right now? Let's do that. 312-981-7200. We're going to take your calls and texts and your opinions on whether the nets should be extended all the way to the foul poles at all of the stadiums. And really, do we need that in the minor leagues too? Hannah Stanley, WGN. More after this. I bet they've got handbags on that show. Not grab bags, handbags. Hannah Stanley here, WGN Radio. I am super excited about all of the topics we've got going on this week, or today, this week. It's a week of shows crammed into one. That's what we're doing tonight. Cryotherapy coming up, by the way, after the 10:30 news. Super interested in the science behind that. That's my Talk Nerdy to Me segment. So, baseball, Tammy Duckworth, among other officials, called today for Major League Baseball to extend the nets to the foul poles on either side, which, of course, would make it safer fan experience. And this is based on a few really catastrophic injuries that have happened over the past few years. Devastating for the people who are injured, their families, the people around them. And often the players who let go of the bat or had the bat splinter or hit the ball that, you know, went into the crowd. We're getting texts and calls, 312-981-7200. Not a huge amount of time on this topic, but what are your thoughts? Because as Don said earlier, and someone texted in or made the comment, that the most expensive seats in the stadium are behind the net. Those would be the home plate, the Mary Hart seats at Dodger Stadium, right? Those are the ones the scout seats. Typically, that's what they're called.
Yeah,
those are incredibly expensive, and you can also have a conversation and not where you're going to get clobbered.
Mm-hmm. See people reading books behind that thing,
which I've never understood.
But they're that safe. They feel that safe.
It is. They do feel that safe. So 815 just texted in, I think the nets should be up to the individual teams, but you look at how many games are played every day between the pros, amateurs, college, little league, and how many people are actually hurt or hit. It's very low. That's true. We're not seeing a lot of injuries, definitely not in the little league. Like they're hitting themselves. That's what they're doing in Little League. But college is when they start hitting super hard. Maybe an occasional high schooler. But in the pros, if you get hit, it's not good at all. And we've seen a lot going on. The other thing is baseball's really struggling with fan base. And what they've been talking about for several years is speeding up play, making it more efficient. But really, if that's, you know, it's nice to go to the ballpark and actually be able to have an afternoon or have an evening where you can sit, socialize with your friends, chat, and watch baseball. If I've got my kids there where the hands are constantly over their head, you know, just in case every time I hear that bat crack, watching, not watching, I'm concerned. That's not necessarily an enjoyable time for me or my husband as we're, you know, if my kids see somebody get hit, that's upsetting. And we've not been there during really, really severe injuries, but it's bad. Donna, have you ever been there at any of the games where somebody's gotten hit?
No, thankfully, not any of the games that I was ever at. But I mean, we've had two recently just here locally where yes. people got severe injuries. And this just strikes me as it's crazy to me to think that the White Sox are now the only team who has committed to extending these. And I think that it's one of those things where if like 20 years from now, if baseball's still around, I think that every ballpark will probably have the nets to it, and we'll look back and be like, wow, how did we ever not have these nets here?
It almost is liking it. It's very similar to me like the football helmets. They used to play without that, or they'd play with the leather helmets.
Right.
But as far as your fan base goes, it really does. It is a more stressful activity for me as a mom to go to with my kids because I do have to be very concerned for their safety. If I'm anywhere close enough, but not, you know, close enough, but not close enough to be behind the nets.
Yeah, but I mean, really, it's like, it's a unique game because it's like no other experience are you going somewhere and projectiles are regularly being flung all over the place.
No, the only other sport I can think of that would be similar would be racing, where a tire can fly up and has happened and has killed people.
Yeah, or, you know, I think of hockey, too, with, like, the puck, but they got the glass, you know?
Right, exactly. And typically, by the time that happens, it's definitely not a direct shot of that puck. That's arced over the glass.
Right.
Perhaps I'm wrong. If there have been injuries because of a line drive of a puck, let me know. 630 just texted in, the White Sox and the Washington Nationals are both extending their nets. So far, those are the only two teams. He thinks, he or she, thinks that Major League Baseball should do it of their own accord. I don't think there needs to be a law, but there shouldn't need to be a law. They should, and I agree, I feel that Major League Baseball should mandate this of their own teams, of their own parks, so that the government doesn't need to be involved. This should be something that just makes sense. And we were discussing this last night, that the millennials, which is the fan base that they, Major League Baseball, trying to reach out to by shortening the game, making it speedier. I think that's the wrong fan base. I think they need to be focusing on the kids, the tweens and younger, and if it's a safer environment, and maybe if it's more affordable, that's something we can all do.
I just think it's just all about prevention here.
Yeah.
You know, preventing this from happening, so.
I think it's a good idea.
I agree.
And it's like looking out of a window that has a screen on it.
Right.
You don't see the screen.
Yeah.
You look beyond it. So I get that it interrupts your, you know, your vista.
Nice word.
Thank you. 870 said, isn't there full netting all the way to the foul poles in the Japanese leagues? I am 90% sure of that, but I'm going to text somebody immediately because I'm relatively sure. He can answer that question for me. Fred Weintraub was just in Tokyo at a baseball game. Oh, he was on the air with you guys last night with Steve and Johnny, Fred Weintraub.
That's right.
My good friend.
Yes, he was.
My good friend,
I believe Steve and Johnny gave you a shout out.
Oh, did they? They are
they
the
did.
Nicest.
Yeah, they're so great.
Well, let's shout out to them, too. Steve and Johnny, who I
Hi,
love.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Johnny.
Oh, and before we forget, Mark at Starbucks at 5970 North Ridge. Thank you for handling my diva moment when I was starting.
Also, Forbes, for what it's worth, saying yes. Japanese baseball does extend netting to the foul poles.
Fabulous. So then we don't need Fred. Fred Weintraub, thank you. If you were trying to text in, we've gotten confirmation. But if you have any photos to send us, that would be fabulous. Please post. Hannah Stanley, WGN, we're going to take a quick break and get back with you for the news with John Kloppen right after this. Hey, Hannah Stanley here with you on WGN. We were just talking about extending the nets to all the way to the foul poles, and then I'm going to get you guys to the news. But we had a texter ask about the netting in Japan. Fred was just there. Fred Weintraub, my friend, who was on with Steve and Johnny last night. And he said, imagine being at the ballpark in Tokyo and not watching out for balls because you're fascinated with people eating sushi with chopsticks.
Oh, yeah. I would also, in this same Forbes article, I would like to note that there are also signs posted with which are warning quite graphically of the dangers of foul balls. And there are also a section of exciting seats in the Tokyo Dome where basically there is no netting. But fans pay a premium for those seats and they are given a helmet and glove.
It is the opposite of here.
Exactly.
The opposite. Yes, 773, by the way, said thankfully it's rare, but there was a case where a 13-year-old died after being hit in the temple at a Columbus Blue Jackets game.
Yeah, it's like, all right, how many of
those? So that's hockey. But yes, but so thank you for clarifying the hockey. But it is, to me, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
That's all.
Just do it.
Hey, guess what?
What?
It's time for Don Kloppen with the news on WGN. Oh, yeah. Hannah Stanley here. This is WGN Radio. So happy to be with you guys. Anybody out there with questions about cryotherapy, now is the time to send them in to us. 312-981-7200. I have so many questions.
Do you have to cry is my question.
It's super cold, so maybe. Because if I burn myself, I cry.
It's painful.
I burn myself a lot. Mm-hmm. So does this counteract it? I don't know. Much like the weather. It was freezing. Now it's boiling hot. Averages out pretty okay, as I like to do.
You know where cryotherapy comes from?
Greece.
Correct.
This is like my big fat Greek wedding. Working with Vivian.
Kryo in Greek means cold.
So in my big fat Greek wedding, her dad was always like, it's all Greek. It's Greek.
The
Greek.
Root of that word is Greek. Greek.
Yes. This is like working with Vivian.
And the Windex, too.
And the Windex.
Hey.
She just cleaned the
Windex the
board.
Is not real.
Come
Let
on.
Me clarify.
Just, you can't choose. You can't pick and choose.
She just,
yes, I can. It's
she
not
just,
right. It's
she
not,
just
it's
cleaned not. The board. So as I often do when I have questions, I go directly to the source. A good source. And on the phone with me right now is Laura Mate from X-Sport. She is the spa manager at the Libertyville location. And here's why we went to her. They have cryotherapy within the gym, but Laura knows the science behind it. Laura, thanks so much for being on WGN.
Thank you so much for having me.
It is my pleasure. So, Laura, we didn't do the promo or the open. We're going to use it in the next promo. This is my segment called Talk Nerdy to Me. So that you know, I love to get nerdy and learn things about stuff. So we're all seeing cryotherapy shops, storefronts pop up everywhere. You guys now have them within a few of your club locations, three, Piper's Alley, Libertyville, and I think Addison. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay, good. You, X-Sport in general, as a corporation, forefront of fitness, all kinds of great stuff. What made you decide to go cryo? And tell me what we need to know about this.
Well, X-Sport started in 1997 at our St. Charles location. It's a family-owned and operated business. We have 40 locations throughout Chicago, Virginia, and New York, and we're a 24-hour facility. really proud to offer our full gym, HIIT classes, personal training, a pro shop, spa, tanning, and so cryotherapy kind of just was a natural next step for us. We really take pride in having state-of-the-art equipment everywhere from the gym to our recovery services, so this just was kind of a natural next step. And what really sets us apart from all these other cryotherapy places is that we are offering whole-body cryotherapy as opposed to a nitrogen-based chamber where you're basically in from the neck down. So that's the biggest difference between Export and all the other cryo locations.
Okay, so let's first focus on the benefits. Why would someone want to go in, and what exactly will they experience other than cryo means cold? But, you know, I saw this on The Amazing Race several years ago in like Sweden or Finland or something. But what exactly is it?
So essentially the chamber, the whole body chamber is, it is different from nitrogen because it is a steady temperature. In a nitrogen-based chamber, you're getting forced air from the feet up. In our electric units, you're getting a, you know, steady temperature across the board, and you're getting, you know, whole body from the top of your head to the tips of your toes. So what happens is you're reducing inflammation, which reduces pain. It's also going to help with your cellular health. You're going to increase range of motion, speed up your muscle recovery, accelerate your metabolism. And then it's also a mood and energy booster, too. And if you really want to get nerdy,
yes,
I can get nerdy.
Do it. Let's go. Tell me temperatures. So, tell me capillary stuff.
Yeah, there's two really prominent responses that happen. So once you step into the chamber, a cold shock happens, and mm-hmm. it sends a distress signal to our brain. So it's essentially like your fight or flight response. So two things happen. First, your endocrine system releases a ton of endorphins through your body super quickly. And then in addition to that, a cold shock protein that's called norepinephrine mm-hmm. is released in brain, and that is a super powerful anti-inflammatory protein. So your brain senses this extreme cold, and it basically draws all of your blood from your extremities to your core to protect you. It wants to keep your core warm.
Perfusion. So, that's called perfusion. That part I know. Yes.
Yeah. Now, all of this happens in between 30 seconds and a minute in the chamber. So all of this blood in the core oxygenates and then is enriched with nutrients. Then after, you know, between 2 and 3.5 minutes, you step out of the chamber, your body starts to get warm, and your circulatory system is basically like, we need to get warm now. So there's vasodilation. So basically our blood vessels expand and dilate, and the brain releases all of that blood back to your extremities. So our circulatory system sends all this blood rushing through your brain, your heart, your lungs, all your vital organs, and it creates a flushing effect. So areas where you might have injuries, even old injuries, strains, sprains, tension, the range of motion issues, things like tendonitis and things as serious as arthritis are flushed of the toxins and bad cells, and they're now getting all of that fresh, nutrient-rich blood. So that results in cellular regeneration. And then it also is going to flush away lactic acid, which is the stuff that makes our muscles sore. Then another really cool benefit is that it's going to tighten our skin. So it firms your skin, helps produce collagen, and it basically helps regenerate skin cells as well. So it literally is healing you from the inside out.
All right. So it is essentially what you're telling me is the fountain of youth, and we're all fools for not currently standing in sub-zero temperatures. How cold are these chambers?
So they are about 150 negative.
Oh, good.
Oh, that's just like Chicago.
I did crossing guard duty in that. That's no problem.
I have a Chicago winter.
Yes.
You can survive minutes in the cryotherapy chamber without a problem.
All right. We are talking to Laura Mate from Export Fitness. She's the spa manager, and she's totally getting nerdy with me on explaining cryotherapy. If you have questions, 312-981-7200. We'll take your calls. We can take your texts. Specifically, texts are easy because I can relay your questions to Laura, and then we will talk more about what questions we need to ask if you're not by one of the locations that Export has, the cryotherapy locations, which are three: Piper's Alley, the Piper's Alley Club, the Libertyville Club, and the Addison Club. If you're not close, you can find all kinds of different cryotherapy places, but you need to know what questions to ask. More on this with Hannah Stanley, that's me, on WGN. Nerdy. Hannah Stanley here on WGN Radio. It is officially the Talk Nerdy to Me segments. We wanted to play Ice Ice Baby in the last one because it seems so fitting. Because today we are talking with Laura Mate of Export Fitness about cryotherapy and the things we need to know. Lots of texts coming in to 312-981-7200. If you want to ask questions about cryo, now is your time. So get those questions in because we're going to have Laura with us for about the next 7 or 8 minutes. Laura, you said it's about 150 degrees below zero. Any of us in the Chicagoland area can handle that. We've all dealt with something close to that. But tell me, who are people that should not have cryotherapy? Are there conditions that we need to be aware of?
So absolutely. There's some really general issues that I can tell you for sure are contraindications. But then there's also some things that aren't absolute contraindications where, like, maybe this is something we want to bring to your doctor and mm-hmm. ask them if it could potentially be right for your situation, because it's really a case by case basis for every single person. So one big thing, is heart attack. So this is something that does create a change, you know, in your cardiovascular, you know, health. So
yes.
It's something that we want to make sure that area is strong. And then also we have the vasoconstriction and dilation happening. So if someone has something like hypertension or there's a blood pressure issue, that's something we want to be careful of. Pregnancy is a pretty obvious one. Mm-hmm. But basically, like, heart attack is an absolute. Everything else is something I would say, you know, before we have you go in the chamber, we definitely want to have your doctor okay it. And we've had a lot of our members do that, and some, you know, some have been approved and some have not. For those who have not, we do have a localized version of our cryotherapy unit. So this is awesome because for the who are A, have the contraindications, or B, are just not feeling getting into that chamber, mm-hmm. we are able to treat an area. We kind of call it like our spot treatment. So if we have an elbow with tendonitis, if we have hands with arthritis, I'm treating someone daily who just had a full knee replacement. This is another option where you don't have to go in the chamber, where these contraindications don't necessarily apply 100% of the time, and we're able to treat areas that in general are about 6 inches in diameter, and we're able to create that same effect. So we're basically restricting blood flow to that area. And then as soon as we stop the localized treatment, fresh blood rushes to that area, flushes the toxins away, and it is such an immediate relief for people. We've had such an amazing just flood of feedback. People who have had chronic pain issues that have completely gone away from just a few treatments. And like I said, it's case by case. So everybody's different. Your treatment time or, you know, duration might be different from, you know, your friend.
Sure.
But it's something that definitely, you know, you see such an immediate relief from people. And then also range of motion is something that we've really seen an immediate improvement on with the localized treatment as well.
Okay, so you can get immediate relief from this one treatment, but sometimes people have to do multiple, or is this something that, that maybe 3-4? Like, I'm trying to figure out if this is something that they need to keep doing repeatedly. I know athletes do because it helps with recovery.
Right, so cryotherapy is safe to use every day. The more you're using it, the more rapid in succession the treatments are. One, the endorphin high that you get from it, so the mood boost and the energy boost, is going to start to build and last longer. It also has a effect on our circadian rhythm, so it also starts to help with your sleep habits. And then with as far as pain and the range of motion type of stuff, it's so very case by case. I would say with the whole body unit, because there's so much happening on a cellular level for your immune system and your circulatory system and all of those vital organs, that's something like, if you can do it every day, do it every day. If you're treating something maintenance-wise for people with, you know, fibromyalgia, arthritis, old injuries, it really is, you know, it's up to you. So sometimes I see people once a week. Sometimes I see people every day. And sometimes it's really just like, this is bothering me today and I don't see them for another 2 weeks. So it's got to be, you know, we have to be aware of our bodies. We have to kind of understand where that pain is coming from, and, you know, how often we need to treat it. But I would say, you know, the more, the better.
Okay.
It's definitely, you know, it's something that's going to help us in the long run as far as the whole body treatment is concerned. So, yeah, I would say the more, the better.
All right. So we've got some questions coming in from WGN listeners. If you have questions, 312-981-7200. Laura Mate will be with us from Export Fitness. A few more minutes. Couple questions. Do you need to be a member of Export to get to utilize the cryo chamber?
Awesome question. I'm so glad someone asked that. Not at all. Okay. So our spa and recovery center is open to the public. So you're completely welcome to walk in anytime and come in and talk to our spa staff. Just about everyone in the spa is certified in cryotherapy, and everyone's really super excited about it and knows a lot and has, you know, everyone's using it themselves. So, no, we welcome everybody to come in and talk to us about it and, yeah, and anyone is welcome.
All right. The other and another question, which I can answer, the three locations of Export Fitness that have the cryotherapy currently are Libertyville, Addison, and the Piper's Alley location, which is right next to Second City. So it's around the corner in the same building. Will it help with poor circulation? I think you already answered that it can, but also doctors should be consulted to make sure it's not going to injure you in any manner. But the question from 847 that's super intriguing, and I don't know that I would have thought of this, the chambers, quote unquote, are they accessible to those who use wheelchairs, walkers, etc.?
So we definitely have some folks that use walkers and canes. Unfortunately, it is not wheelchair accessible. Great question. But we, you know, we do have folks that have walkers and canes, and you're monitored the entire time you're in the chamber. So there is someone there to help you in, to open the door for you when you go in and when you come out. So it's something that, you know, you're definitely monitored the whole time and you have assistance. Someone's with you the entire duration of the treatment.
And as you mentioned too, you guys also offer the localized where you can kind of, just hit a small area. So maybe that can help you get to the point where you can stand in the chamber. Hopefully, Laura Mate from Export, Fitness and Spa. The website is exportfitness.com.
That's correct.
Okay, good. She said that with a question mark in her voice. All right, Laura, thank you so much. And Vivian and I at some point want to come over and try it.
We'll be there every day. Yes, we'll be your regular customers.
We can go in there together. We can crank some music. It is a good time.
Oh, that'd be super fun. All right, so thank you. Thank you so much for talking nerdy to me about cryotherapy and its uses.
My pleasure.
All right, Hannah Stanley here, WGN Radio. We're going to take a quick break and get you guys back to the news with Roger Badish after this. What I want, Hannah Stanley, loving the Hall & Oates here on WGN Radio. Vivian, spinning the tunes, as we used to say in the old days. Roger Badish delivering our news now that Don Kleppen has departed for the evening. Whole hour show already finished, Roger.
Look at that. Man.
Wow.
How much did you cram into that 1 hour? So much.
42 topics. It was 42.
Yeah.
For those keeping track at home.
Sure.
For you youngsters out there, you don't want to do 42 topics normally in an hour of radio.
Yeah.
Any of you little leaguers who want to play in the bigs here at WGN,
yep.
best
yep,
to
yep,
focus. Yep. No. So our thanks to Export Fitness for having Laura call in. And join us talking about cryotherapy. So I really am interested in trying this now.
Oh, me
really
too.
Really interested.
Roger, you're going to come with us?
Yeah, winters in Chicago are enough for me. I'm almost thawed out.
You know I'm a crossing guard.
Yeah, I know.
At a grade school.
Mm-hmm.
Favorite job I've ever had, bar none. I love this. I love radio. I love WGN. Mm-hmm. It's so joyous to be out with the little kids mm-hmm. and see them and be goofy and silly. But the week I started was the week before the official full-on polar vortex. But we were like, we knew the polar vortex was coming.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't cancel school because they were like, no, we got to cancel next week.
Yeah.
Like we're... And so I pulled on my husband's ski pants and my like heaviest winter coat and I reevaluated my life choices and I was like, well, let's keep some kids safe, you know, but I think that's why I didn't have any maybe joint pain during the winter is because of that. Hey, joining me right now, we are talking about awesome. This is a really positive, uplifting, awesome things show. So cryotherapy, which apparently is going to make your life better no matter who you are. And then joining us right now on the phone from Alverno Laboratories, we have the CEO, Sam Therese. Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you for having me tonight.
It is my pleasure. I'm always interested when Justin Breen, who is a PR agent, really just extraordinaire and a tremendous human. Anytime he sends me a message that goes, this is going to change people's lives. And it's not often that that happens. And that is exactly what happened about Alverno Laboratories. You guys, Alverno Laboratories are going to be the first U.S. network to install digital pathology services from Philips. Please explain to me what that means and why we all need to be crazy excited about this.
Well, think about it as, many years ago, we all took cameras out and, took pictures and then had to run to the drugstore.
Or the photomat.
Or the photomat. I remember photomat.
Yeah.
And you would then, wait a week before you would get your images and... you get all excited and get them home. Yeah, and it kind of works that way in pathology now where you make slides and you have to send them to somebody to look at and you drive them all over the city of Chicago. And now we won't have to do that anymore. We'll be able to take that same material and digitize it and be able to, through the internet, send that image anywhere in the world, for that matter. And if understanding what pathology is, which is just a field in the laboratory, and you know, everybody's familiar with the laboratory. At some point, we've all probably had a blood test or some other kind of test. Well, that's all done in the laboratory. This particular area of the laboratory focuses in on the diagnosis of cancer. And so this is a way in which we'll be able to get results and information to patients just so much quicker. And to clinicians so that, you know, they can get in the fight against, you know, such a terrible disease.
Oh, absolutely. And the opposite side of that, you can clear people's minds that much quicker, more quickly. So they can be worried sick, literally, and then all of a sudden you go, yeah, no, we're good. You're fine. You're okay. But they can find that out so much more quickly, and they don't have to stress and lose sleep for another night or two nights.
Yeah, that's how we kind of measure things in terms of what we do, particularly, you know, people waiting for those results. You know, every day that goes by is another sleepless night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's wonderful when a physician can pick up a phone and say, oh, gee, that's benign. Don't worry about it. Go on with your life versus... you know, the alternative. And so it's exciting that Alvaro can bring this technology forward. As I said, we're the first in the U.S., and we're going to be impacting hundreds of thousands of lives each and every year that we do this.
Yeah, the only other place that I have heard of something this quick, or even more quicker, boy, I'm having problems conjugating verbs and adjectives today. It's normally I'm okay. But is when they actually have pathology in the operating room because they're removing a tumor and they're checking for margins and they've got somebody with a microscope looking at it right there. But this is a little bit different because this is within the discovery of and the diagnosis of cancer. So where are your facilities located? Who is benefiting from these, and how can people who are searching for diagnosis make sure that they can benefit from this technology?
Well, we are obviously our main operations are in Northwest Indiana in Hammond, but we service hospitals throughout Illinois and Indiana. So in Illinois, it's primarily Amita Hospitals and Presence Health. Those facilities are all part of the Alvaro network of laboratories. So those sites have access to this technology. In Indiana, it's the hospitals that are part of Franciscan Alliance, which is another health system in the state of Indiana. So in addition, it's available to the numerous physicians that we work with in private practice as well. So Alvaro is a fairly large system of laboratories, and so we have lots of access points and for both physicians and hospitals throughout Chicago and for that matter, all of Illinois and Indiana.
How long is this rollout process? Is it completely put together? Is it implemented already? Or is this something that's brand new and it's going to take a year or two?
Well, the journey started actually back in 2017. And it's taken us almost a year and a half or 2 years to get to this point. But we are on the verge within a matter of weeks of beginning the launch. So we will start using the technology here in a couple weeks. It is going to take us several months to completely roll this out to all of our organizations. So by the end of the year and first part of next year, we will have it in all the locations. Always the challenge of being the innovators in the first is there's nobody you can look to learn
troubleshoot.
Yeah, you're the teachers.
Mm-hmm.
we're the teachers, so it's really exciting. So it is a long process, but as I said, we I think have our first sites going live here in a couple of weeks. So, but it it's a tremendous change for our pathologists who have, for most of their professional careers, done it a certain way. And so this is something completely new for them as well.
Very exciting. Hannah Stanley here on WGN. We are talking with Sam Terese, CEO of Alverno Laboratories, and they are revolutionizing how we are getting diagnosed, and specifically our cancer diagnoses are going to be quicker and more effective, and that's going to help all of us either sleep easier because we found out it was benign, or it was, you know, it's that's an interesting phrase, and I've heard lots of people talk about it, positive or negative, because positive is good, but you don't want to have positive in a medical sense. But we are going to talk more about this technology and what this actually means for us as consumers slash patients, because patients are really consumers. So more on WGN right after this. Hannah Stanley here. Anytime we can incorporate a good themed song sung by Bonnie Tyler, it is a win.
Absolutely.
We're going to do as many of those as possible. Joining me currently and continuing with me is Sam Terese, who is CEO of Alverno Laboratories. Here's the thing that's amazing. Alverno Laboratories is the first U.S. network to install digital pathology services from Philips. And what this means to you, the patient, who is going to try to get an accurate diagnosis, is that it can be more likely to be accurate, right? Because that's always going to be the most important thing. But it's also going to get to you sooner. Sam, thank you so much for staying with me. You mentioned earlier that it was along the lines, technology jump-wise, of taking pictures on our old, you know, like the camera with maybe the flash bar that we all had, and then we had to drive it to the grocery store, the photo mat, or wherever, and get it developed. And then I would, you know, when do you want it? Wednesday. Okay, fine. And then we were dealing with a whole bunch of different stuff. The equipment could go down. You know, people could make mistakes. It could get lost because it was being driven back and forth. This is what's going on with you guys and how we've been being diagnosed. Now it's going to be all digital. So it's just going to be electronically transferred. How does this make it better for the patient, safer for the patient, more effective?
Well, you know, I think the things we you know, we've highlighted in terms of the speed of which this can all happen. I mean, images can be, transmitted in milliseconds. But the other interesting element of it is we're just at the very tip of this technology in terms of, okay, yes, we can capture the image and we can transport it quicker. But, the power of IT and computers to actually use the computer technology to look at that image and even enhance the diagnosis even more is really kind of the next phase. As I said, so we're just at the very beginning. And then if you think of, the patient or the person with some, maybe a very challenging kind of illness, think of the possibility of being able to, kind of in a Star Trek-y kind of way, beam the image, to the expert in some other country who can actually then look at it in real time and have a dialogue with, your own clinician and perhaps get to, even an answer or another opinion or can suggest something different. And so it's really that kind of the future state of technology that's even more exciting than where we are today. But today is really kind of that first step, and the future is, I think, even more powerful for the care of the patients and the service of the physicians that we offer.
So what we're looking at, what you guys are doing the imaging on, are these biopsies, cells where you've pulled for margins? What are we checking the path on?
And anatomic path, it's just about any tissue or any organ, you know, anything you can think of are common materials. As I said, I mean, we think about it in terms of kind of oncology and cancer, but there are far more diseases or potential disease states that are being evaluated beyond just kind of the cancer mm-hmm. implication. But you know, the rate at which cancer diagnoses are growing, I think, as we all age, are growing substantially. So, yeah, we tend to focus in that realm, but it's far more than just that element of anatomic pathology.
Wow. So we're looking at really the abnormal cells, or looking for those. And what was really intriguing just now, you said that we can enhance those images. And I'm doing that thing that we do on our phones where you keep like zooming in and enhancing even an article because our eyes are getting older. And I'm like, ooh, I can make the print bigger. That's exactly what you guys are doing with this digital technology. This is so very exciting.
Yeah, no, that's kind of the simplest of analogies. I think it even goes beyond that. Yes, you can, with your eyes, you can do that. You can see the changing of the images. Just think of what a super powerful computer can do with that image.
Yeah.
If you're looking at a slide with a million cells on it, almost impossible for a human to look at every single one.
Wow.
With a computer, that's not impossible. And so it's exciting. And I think there's other elements of laboratory world, something we call precision medicine, and having a computer kind of look at a slide and say, gee, let's take this particular cell from this particular area and let's kind of try to maybe understand what's going on with the DNA, and might even help us further diagnose a disease state and recommend a better treatment for the patient.
This is an exciting time we live in, Sam Therese. Thank you so much for joining us, explaining what this means to us. It is Alverno Laboratories, Sam Therese, CEO. And you can get more information on this technology that they are bringing to the Indiana and Illinois area at alvernolabs.com. Really, really exciting that we are going to get these diagnoses so much faster, and really thrilling that we have it here in the area. Sam, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Hannah, for having me. I really appreciate it. Thank
Absolutely. You. Really, really neat stuff. Hannah Stanley here. We are going to get you guys to the news with Roger Badish right after these messages. Baby. Hannah Stanley here. I just saw Salt and Pepper.
I'm so jealous.
The Allstate Arena? Is that what it's called now?
Yes,
I sit here in the Allstate Showcase Studio, Skyline Studio. My mistake, Skyline. So many years of saying Showcase. But we're in the Skyline Studio.
We're high up.
We are. We're on 18th floor, overlooking the Chicago River.
Nice views.
Yeah, they were with New Kids on the Block. Debbie Gibson. Tiffany.
Ugh.
Naughty by Nature. I got my 1980s on. It was good. I took my son. Did we talk about this last time I was on last week? My 11-year-old son went with me. And two high school friends, too.
No way.
Yeah, no. He wanted to go.
Or like, did he have a good time?
He did.
He really was he jamming did. Out to this song?
He was. And they played, like, it was a mixtape tour. And so they would play interludes of other 80s music.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows a lot of it. You know, it's interesting. They know a ton of these songs because of the Goldbergs and because of YouTube videos.
Yeah.
So they see YouTube videos with people my age or younger, but they're playing Walking on Sunshine or something by Katrina and the Waves. And they're like, Mom, do you know what this song is from? And I say, yes, the 80s. I do know what this song is from. And they go, no, it's from so-and-so's video. Yeah, I didn't know that. I did not know that, but I can tell you where I was the first time I heard it.
Where were you?
Karen Grotto's Ford Escort being driven home from junior year of high school.
Well, I'm impressed.
Yeah, I don't know if that's where I was. But she had a very good musical selection that she would play in a Ford Escort. Anyway, so have you ever worked out by a ninja warrior?
I cannot say that I have, no.
Okay, so I did today.
How was that? I don't even know how Roger, I would feel.
Roger, yes. I would be remiss if I didn't ask you, mm-hmm. although I feel like I know your answer.
He has,
have
for sure.
You ever worked out with or near a ninja warrior?
All of my workouts have been my own workouts.
Okay, so that's a no.
That's a no.
Unless Bridget is in fact a ninja warrior.
Not even close.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
Well, you're both cancer survivors, so you're warriors.
I did push myself, though, those times when I got into my exercise routine mm-hmm. for two or three times that I did it in my old age.
Were you making a reference to the song that we just played, too?
I actually, my last two songs on my exercise mixtape.
Mm-hmm. Killing Me Softly?
Nope, you will be surprised. This is where I was I'd already done my calisthenics and my sit-ups and everything else, and I was on the bike for 30 minutes, mm-hmm. dripping sweat,
mm-hmm.
and they were both by Prince.
Oh.
Purple Rain.
Nope. I Would Die for You. And Baby, I'm a Star.
Baby, I'm a Star is a solid workout song.
Yep. And that's why I would pick up the speed mm-hmm. and the sweat pouring, literally pouring off of me in those last two songs as I finished my 30-minute ride.
And then you ended up with Purple Rain.
No.
That's because of the sweat.
The sweat. I'm trying to make a reference here. Come on, Roger.
Hey, it's Thursday. I'm not sure what I'm doing right now. But yes, Purple Rain from the sweat. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
And that would be my cool down.
312-981-7200. Eventually, we're going to start talking about Ninja Warrior.
Go back
so, we'll get there. Roger, cancer warrior.
Yes.
Girl next to me at the gym today, ninja warrior.
Yikes.
Here's the thing. You got
wear
music.
A mask and throw stars at
No, that's not a that's
ninja. Yeah.
No, that's a different kind of ninja.
Oh, okay.
We're talking American Ninja Warrior.
I gotcha. Okay.
Which is something that I've recently gotten into past couple of seasons.
Oh, this is the
TV show.
Yes. Okay, I got you.
So, here's the thing. I woke up this morning, and I'm scrolling through Instagram
mm-hmm.
because I'm trying to avoid facing the day. That's so,
it's summer time. What
and,
the heck?
And I felt, but I did end up going to the gym, and we're gonna get there. Stay tuned. Maybe not this segment.
Maybe next week.
But we're going to get there.
Yes.
So there is a video by The Rock, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, mm-hmm. who I follow. If you don't follow him, he's super inspirational. I follow a whole bunch of people who are motivating, inspiring, etc. The Rock is crushing it at the gym.
Oh, my.
Because how else do you look like him unless that's
exactly.
what you do?
Yeah.
And I was like, man, that is like, and you can tell it is not easy. Like, I'm looking at the weights, like, yeah, he's strong. But it's not that. It's the effort that I'm seeing in his face.
Yeah.
And he's pushing through reps. And I'm like, that is the face I make. Way less weight, but still the face I make.
Yeah.
When you get out of bed?
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you.
When I'm going down the stairs tonight because my legs feel like Jell-O.
Right.
But. So then I go to the gym and I was going to just slack my work off today, right? Uh-oh. I was going to be, and you know this, and Vivian knows this too. I used to work out with Jarrett Payton.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, if you want to be motivated, find Jarrett at the gym. So I don't see him often. Our schedules are different now. So, but man, he would get there and he would be like, girl, you gotta want it. You gotta want it like breathing, like you are drowning. And I'm like, okay. And my trainer, you know, like I'm in a squat with the dumbbell and she's like loading weight onto the bar. I'm like, oh, okay. No, it was good. Cause I was like, yeah, you're right. I am strong. I am invincible. So really my suggestion to you is work out with Jarrett. But anyway,
you should get like voice memos from him, like as he's telling you all of this.
Oh, so you don't even know. It. Yeah, I need memes. I need I need audio memes from Jarrett.
And share them with me so when I go to the gym, I can listen to it.
I told my trainer today I wanted Jarrett to FaceTime me when I work out because I just need him to just like, come on. Or The Rock. One of the two. Those are my two. Yeah. Those are my two inspirations. So I'm doing a training today with a trainer at the gym. And we're talking about Ninja Warrior, and we had been talking about it at the game last night and how it is legit my favorite sport. And the dad that I was talking to yesterday at the game while we were waiting for Shay to sing the national anthem, boy, I'm like bringing this all together. People are like, wow, she's really fluid. He goes, your favorite sport? And I went, it really is. Here's why. You're only competing against yourself. Right. So yes, I'm watching this on television, but you can go to Ninja Gyms all around. There's two big ones here in the area. Actually three, I think. One's in Naperville, one's in West Chicago. I think there's one up north. There's probably more. 312-981-7200. Feel free to text in where the Ninja Gym locations are. Two, I have never, like, I'm so excited for their athletic achievement. The people on television or the people that I know, because they have contests. You can find them all over. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, I've never once rooted against somebody competing.
Why would you root against someone competing?
But I do in baseball and I do in football.
Yeah, but there are sides. You're not
exactly
a singular person.
Exactly. And that's why I love it.
Okay.
The other thing is, too, it's really, really challenging to hit the ultimate level, right? On television, you go through the final, you got to make the city finals, and then you go through the finals, and then you're multiple levels. Every 2 or 3 years, maybe somebody wins the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Mount Midoriyama. Every time I see someone not complete the course, it's not that they have failed.
No.
It's that they fell short and they get up and they're smiling when they do the interview and go, man, that was tough. I don't, you know, this is what happened and I'm going to try again next year. They're so focused on how much fun they had and the smiling. And then they stand on the sidelines and root on all the other ninjas.
Well, because they've all reached that level of competition. They know they can compete, not necessarily against each other, but with themselves. And I've noticed the times that I've tuned past it and watched one or two, maybe, I've noticed that they're always changing up the course, the things you have to do on it. And I'm like, wait a minute, the one I just saw 2 weeks ago was horribly hard. They just made it harder.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're all.
I saw one the other day. You know how at the end, when they first started this, they would have the wall?
Yeah, now it's an 18-foot wall.
Yeah, and it's in the middle of the course now.
Oh, yeah, it is. They got things to do.
What's going on here?
Right. So it is constant. The courses are constantly upping their game. Mm-hmm. They're incorporating viewers and fans, designing. Mm-hmm. They have contests where you go, you know, it'd be great if one of the competitors wasn't a competitor, but had designed two of the pieces of apparatus for them to compete on before he actually qualified as a ninja himself.
Yeah.
So they're very incorporating cool. their fan base. They've got kids doing this. Now these gyms are popping up all over. Like I said, there's several in the area where kids are able to go and do these types of workouts.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's really, really intriguing to me because it's so focused on positivity and what you can achieve. They're overcoming illnesses, injuries. family stuff. It's really, really incredible. And I feel so much better when I work out. I know that they do as well. But the thing is, working out next to a former ninja, yeah, that's better than Jared.
But now you have a new goal.
I do.
Not with that person, with that ninja, but now you have a new level for yourself to set for yourself and to attain.
Exactly. Exactly. So I was very, very inspired.
Excellent.
My squats got squattier when I realized that she was a ninja.
Yikes.
Man, I've never seen more beautiful shoulders in a woman.
I can just picture you squat and just like trying to make eye contact with her. Like,
no,
she's doing.
You know what's so funny is because I started talking to her because the trainer goes, she used to be a ninja. And I was like, no way. You know what? Here, we're going to take a break so we can make sure that that gets taken care of. I'll tell you the story because her commentary on it was really, really interesting. Hannah Stanley, WGN Radio. More right after this. Talking about ninja warriors. And also, hello to Ken, who just sent a text in. Appreciate it.
Did you catch Roger dance right now?
Oh, Roger's a dancer.
Oh, yeah.
Roger Badish in our news studio. Roger and I go way back. Roger used to always dance when we would wrap up the show on Saturday nights.
That's right.
Yeah. So, coming up on the show, hold on, I have to sneeze.
God bless you.
Pardon me.
Bless
thank you. You.
Wow.
That was weird. Okay, sorry. So today I was working out next to a ninja warrior. Legit used to be a full-on ninja on the TV show. And she came over and asked if she could work in with us. And I was like, okay, of course. Teamwork. Yay. Girl power. So, but then when I found out she was a ninja, I said, you know, this is really interesting because I was just talking about this last night and all of the positive things that I see as a viewer and why this has become something that I encourage my kids to watch. I want my son and my daughter to see strong women and strong men and people who have overcome injuries and who constantly work harder and who see the good in what they're doing in the community for kids. It's really, really interesting to me. And what she said was, what you guys don't know, viewers, is it is exactly that off air. During the rest of the year when they're working out, when they're struggling, when they're overcoming an injury, the support is so strong because they're not competing against each other.
That's awesome.
I think it's so much healthier than the way we compete with each other in other sports.
Well, most other sports, I'm not sure of. Well, all of them are competition, and this one is still competition against the others, but that's not necessarily the focus. You win because you do your best, and it's only dependent on you. Against the course. Almost everything else is a team sport unless it's singles tennis.
Right. Now you're still competing.
Or in the Olympics, you have a lot of single sports, weightlifting.
Well, the other thing is, too, mistakes happen. Sometimes you don't, you know, there's good life lessons in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not your day.
Exactly.
Or you get hurt, but you get back up.
Yeah.
Or your foot slips, you hit it wrong. Lots
or
of things.
Or a bar slips out, like that bar they have to swing out and hook up to the next level.
Oh, that's called
going.
That's called the lache, Roger.
Excuse you. You leave my lache out of this.
Oh, golly.
Yeah.
All right, we are going to take another break. Hey, right after the news with Roger, we are going to talk about the Leading with Courage Academy. I'm super excited to talk about this. Speaking of things that are positive and really moving forward in when bad things happen. This is coming up after the midnight news. Roger Badish after this. Almost time to get you guys to the news with Roger Badish. Hannah Stanley here tonight on WGN Radio. So much coming up in the next hour. I really don't know that we're going to get to everything. By the way, though, here's something that I do know I want to make sure I get to. Pull out those calendars. August 17th, Delato Fest.
Yes.
Confirmed today, August 17th. Maybe I'll be on the judges panel. Not maybe. I'm totally in the judges panel.
Can I be an assistant to that?
I don't know. We'll figure something out. You're Greek. It's Italian. No.
It's okay.
You need a Greek dessert.
She can be Italian for the day.
Is tiramisu? No, that's Italian. What's a Greek dessert?
Baklava, bucata.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. We'll have that fest. Baklava fest. So it's going to be in Little Italy this year on Taylor Street during Italian Fest. I'm very excited. So mark your calendars, August 17th, Gelato Fest.
Okay, just edit it.
All right. I wonder what would happen if you say what you want to say. Hannah Stanley, WGN Radio. Roger, 2 hours of radio. Done.
Look at you.
Just like that.
My, it's so much fun.
Oh,
it goes by
always,
without even thinking about it.
It does. It's so, you know what? There's so many great things to learn about and talk about and get to share.
Yep. And I don't care, speaking from experience, how old one gets, there's always new stuff
every single day.
Yep.
You can learn something new. Boy, do I have the perfect guest for that segue.
I'm glad I could help.
Oh, you're a professional, Roger.
We think alike.
Oh, segues are us. Hannah Stanley here, WGN Radio. Hey, Lee Eisenstadt joining me right now from the Leading with Courage Academy. This is, well, actually, okay, let's do this. First and foremost, welcome to WGN, Lee.
Thank you, Hannah. So glad to be with you tonight.
I am thrilled, and thank you. I know this is late. I know it, and I appreciate you you staying up for me and for those of us who are awake at these hours. So your book that just came out, and by the way, happy birthday. Your birthday was a week
ago.
Thank you
very much.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm going to reference this because it is important. You just turned 65 years old.
Yep. I'm officially part of the Medicare crowd.
This is amazing. You just published, I believe, your ninth book. Is that correct? Fourth
no,
book?
No, I wish. Fourth. It's only my fourth if you include second editions.
Okay, well, yet. Your fourth book, yet. So I believe in the power of yet. Nine is just on the horizon. So,
yeah.
All right. But the book is called Leading with Courage, Nine. That's where I got it. Nine Critical Behaviors of Effective Leaders and Managers, focusing on lessons from the 40 top CEOs that you have interviewed. Lee, tell me how this came about, and then we can reference why it's important that you just turned 65.
Yeah, it all started, Hannah, probably about 4 years ago. I kept hearing a statistic that 40 to 50% of C-suite executives are fired, quit, or fail in the first 18 months on the job. It was an astounding statistic, and I started to do a little bit of research into that and just wasn't getting the kinds of answers that I had hoped for. So I went out and interviewed 40 CEOs who had been in their jobs for at least 2 years, so they had gotten past that 18-month obstacle, but not 20 years ago, so that they still remembered what it was like coming into these positions, and interviewed them. And through that process of interviewing, identified 26 attributes of effective leaders and managers and boiled that down then to these nine critical behaviors or blind spots that get leaders into trouble.
How did your interest in these topics and people staying employed and being successful, where did that come from?
It came from a long time ago when I was an executive with SC Johnson. They make Windex and Pledge, and I was they invest heavily in their people, and I was among those high potentials that they invested in from a leadership point of view. They sent me off to something called Center for Creative Leadership. I was there for a week. It's a very intense self-awareness kind of a journey there. And at the end of it, you sit down with a psychologist for 4 hours to go over everything that they've learned about you through the testing and observations. And one of those was I had a major blind spot. If I wanted to get where I wanted to go, they said, you're going to have to get over being afraid to talk about yourself. And in finance, it seemed that that was due to shameless self-promotion. For me, I wanted an assignment in Europe. And they said, if you want that, you're going to have to do something a little different. You got to go out and start talking to people about it. So I got back from the course and started doing that. Met with the heads of different countries, the CFO of the company, the head of Europe, to find out what I need to do to be a better candidate. So sharing with them my interests, not trying to sell myself to them, just trying to say, what do I got to do to be a better candidate? Mm-hmm. Long story short, about 9 to 10 months later, I was offered a position in Paris that lasted for about 3.5 years. I would never have gotten that job if I hadn't gotten over that blind spot that, you know, was preventing me from being not only a candidate, but the successful candidate for that. And so that's what opened my eyes to, you know, how limiting some of these things can be. And I started bringing that appreciation for understanding yourself better into all the jobs that I went into after that.
So at your age, and I want to be sensitive about this, but this is a time of life where a lot of people are looking to retire and stop being actively employed. And you're publishing books and helping other people find what they want to do and how to do it more effectively. At what point did you say, this is what I'm going to do for the next however long?
Oh, that was about 10 years ago when I was working for one of the largest accounting firms in the country, and they brought in a new managing partner. I'd been there about 3 years. I was the chief operating officer. And after what I learned is about every 3 years, when they bring in a new managing partner, the people like me get replaced. Mm. And so I was out in the job market. I had retired from SEJ, took this job, and then was in the job market again. And I'm about 56 at that time. And I had success in the job market, but I just realized I was looking for another job in another 3 years. Mm. So that's when I got the bug to do my own thing, because I may fail at it, but I can never be fired or let go from it. And so that's when I started doing it. And what really, another blind spot, I didn't think I had anything that people would want to buy as a consultant. I didn't think I had enough, let's say, skills or tricks in the bag there that people would be interested in. But I found out I was wrong. And that then led to me forming, this is now my third business, different iterations of the same thing. But it just led me to become an entrepreneur, work for myself, and what I really enjoyed was the leadership development, helping others see their blind spots. And so that's what I started doing. And I just, it's not a job. I really enjoy doing it. And so the age thing doesn't really enter into it.
Yeah, it's remarkable because when, you know, some people think 65 or 55 for that matter is kind of the end of their career, you know, looking towards retirement, slowing down, and you are so incredibly vital and focused on building and growth. I think you are more common than a lot of people would think, but I think you're inspirational for those who are maybe approaching that time of their life.
Well, thanks. I mean, there's no reason to slow down. I mean, if you enjoy it,
sure.
I mean, some of us can't slow down. We have to work.
Right.
There's financial reasons why we have to. But if you really enjoy it, then is it really work? What we found out is that what we really are providing to people, it isn't coaching and assessments and workshops on being a more effective leader or manager. It's providing them with peace of mind and confidence that they're an effective leader or manager. And the joy I get out of seeing people transform that way is what keeps me going every day.
Lee Eisenstadt joining me. His new book is Leading with Courage, 9 Critical Behaviors of Effective Leaders and Managers, just released this month. So it is available where all finer books are sold. So Amazon. But also, if you have a local bookstore, please go there as well. Lee, are you going to be doing any appearances, signings? Is this a thing anymore?
Yeah, it is. I've got a signing coming up in September. With the summer months, it's been kind of hard to arrange things and mm-hmm. find people that are going to be around. So we've got one coming up in, I think it's on September 12th, doing a signing at Abe Bernstein, a wealth advisor. And really, that's about the only plan at the moment.
At the moment.
We were never sure when it was coming out. So,
like I said, so we're ready to go. I believe in the power of yet. So we will, that is the one you have so far. So
right.
No more booked yet. We are going to come right back. WGN Radio, Hannah Stanley with my guest Lee Eisenstadt, and talk more about the Leading with Courage Academy and how you can meet with Lee and really build your own confidence and courage and keep moving forward in your career and grow. No matter what, as Roger and I were talking about, you can always learn something. More on WGN right after this. You see it all around you. Good love and gone bad. Hannah Stanley here, WGN. I hate when we get to this point of the show. I love the back end of a workout where you're like, man, there's only like a little bit left. I hate the back end of the show. That's never my favorite.
I like the end of my workouts.
Yeah.
I'm glad that's
who
over.
Who doesn't? Lee Eisenstadt joining me from the Leading with Courage Academy, his business, also the author of his fourth book, Leading with Courage, 9 Critical Behaviors of Effective Leaders and Managers. I want to read this, and I need to buy this for my brother-in-law, who's a C-level manager. I think this is something that he would devour in 12 minutes. But Lee, you got fired. This is a hard thing to face, especially when you'd had a successful career. And then all of a sudden you went, okay, that's a gut check kind of moment.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't expecting them. The ironic thing was my boss at the time, the one who told me I was no longer with the company, they offered me the position in the same restaurant that he fired me in. He didn't know that because he wasn't the one that extended the offer, but it was kind of ironic.
Absolutely. There's all kinds of irony. How long before you decided to branch out on your own? You said that you didn't feel that you would have been a good consultant, but at what point did you or did someone work with you on going, no, I can do this. I have a lot to offer. I am valuable.
No one worked with me. It took me about 6 months. I think, of going around and talking to people and pursuing opportunities till I realized what really happened was they didn't want full-time COOs, chief operating officers, the companies I was talking to. They were mid-sized companies, and they had a need just for an interim or a part-time person. And they kept saying, can you do this for us? Can you do a client loyalty study for us? Can you review this part of the company? And it was these series of projects that made me realize that I did have quite a skill set that I could apply as a consultant. So that's how it happened. I guess I would have to say I was an accidental entrepreneur. It wasn't intentional. I didn't go out there like I run into some people who say, I've got this burning desire to do that. You also mentioned something else that was interesting, Hannah, that it was a real moment of truth mm-hmm. or, and I really found that my foreign assignment, my international assignments had prepared me well for that. I wasn't as freaked out as I thought I would be. And I didn't have these questions of confidence. It was an interesting story. I get to France. I don't know the culture. I don't know the language. I don't know a soul there. And 6 weeks after I'm there, my boss tells me he's leaving tomorrow. He quit.
Oh, golly.
And all of a sudden, you know, we had sold our house, our cars. My wife had quit her job in the U.S. We had nothing. You know, there was no going back.
Mm-hmm.
And you realize you had to make it work. And I think that's what kind of kicked in again when I was having this conversation with my boss in the U.S. telling me after 3 years, I was out. And it was drawing on that past experience and how I'd gotten through that. That was really helpful. There was also a book I had read by Smart People Fail, and I forget the name of the author, but it was really helpful because what the author pointed out, and it's a series of stories like this, of everyone who's successful has been fired. They've had a major failure in their careers. And it was showing how they all survived it. They actually grew from it. And I still have that book on my bookshelf, Why Smart People Fail.
Interesting how so many things in our past prepare us for what is ahead of us. Lee, for those who are interested in working with you and being a part of the Leading with Courage Academy, tell me what they're going to experience and how they can get a hold of you, please.
Well, to get a hold of me is really easy. Right? The website is www.lwcacademy.com. Or you can just give me a call. Our phone number is 312-827-2643. And I'm on LinkedIn. I'm also a member of the Forbes Coaches Council, so I publish a lot on the Forbes.com platform. So I'm easy to find, I think, out there. But as far as what they'll experience, the biggest thing that we find clients have to be, they have to be coachable, which means in our case, they have to be willing to ask others, what do you think and how am I doing? Simple questions, but they can be really terrifying if you've never asked people those questions before and if you aren't willing to really listen to what they have to say.
So how raw does that sometimes get? Does it get painful or is it a little bit like ripping off the Band-Aid and then you get better at learning and growing from those answers?
I don't think it ever gets easy, Hannah. I mean, I do. I took a 360 assessment maybe about a month ago. And whenever you get the results back, you're still a little anxious about opening them up and seeing what other people think of you. Because you don't know what they're going to say. But what we find is very seldom are people going to just be nasty and snarky.
Mm-hmm.
They really do want to help you. If they're willing to take the time to give you feedback, it is more likely that it's constructive and they want to help you succeed. And I have found that time after time again. I can't really think of the time when someone just took advantage of, you know, someone saying, how am I doing? What do you think? And just leveling them. That doesn't happen. I haven't seen that happen. I'm sure it does.
Culturally,
so it's scary, but do it. People need to do it.
So is it something that we do more as Americans, or is this kind of a global thing? Everybody just kind of wants to not get honest opinions and constructive criticism.
I mean, I haven't read any research on that. And
no, but having worked over there, yeah.
In Western Europe, this is not common.
Okay.
Asking others for feedback. When I was with an American multinational, so I just thought that's what they did.
Mm-hmm.
And quickly came to find out, no. And I had half a dozen countries I was responsible for. So I was dealing with all different kinds of cultures, and they were all had the same kind of fear of seeking feedback. There was, they weren't that, I wouldn't say it wasn't that they were curious, but they didn't have that same curiosity that Americans seem to have. Now, even Americans are not, that's our biggest competitor. It's not other consultants or other coaches. It's people in firms, it's CEOs, it's managers that say, I don't need any of this stuff. That's why I'm the CEO. That's why I'm the head of the distribution department. They think they're self-aware and they really aren't, but they don't want to shake their worldview too much.
Well, they might find out that they're not doing it well.
Exactly. They're quite happy. They're successful.
Right.
They'll say, I'm the CEO. I don't need this. That's why I'm the CEO. And that's usually where the problem starts, is at the top. But, you know, when we can't get to the CEO, then you work with the next level down. And eventually the CEO comes around. They see the benefits of it.
Yeah.
But I was on a Southwest Airlines flight reading an article. This goes back about 6 months ago, and there was an article in their, you know, magazine that said 95% of people think they're self-aware.
Mm.
The real number is 12 to 15%.
Mm.
So there's a lot of opportunity out there to increase your self-awareness. And that's what we're all about. That's what we really stand for, is self-awareness.
And it's interesting that we need outsiders to help us be more self-aware, but that's where the growth comes in. So Lee Eisenstadt, thank you so much. His book, as I mentioned earlier, you can find where better books are sold, Leading with Courage, 9 Critical Behaviors of Effective Leaders and Managers. And as he mentioned, it is lwcacademy.com. Thanks so much for your time, Lee.
Thank you, Hannah. I enjoyed it.
I did as well. Thank you. Hannah Stanley, we're going to get you guys to the news right on the other side of this break. Stanley, WGN Radio. Roger, what does that song remind you of?
What does it remind me of?
Yeah. There's two very specific things it could remind you of.
Wow. I will have to beg ignorance on this because I love the song, but my memory fails me at this time.
All right, 312-981-7200. Please text in and let me know what Journey, Don't Stop Believing reminds you of. I have, and I'm not alone, two very specific
instances. A sports. There's a sports event.
Yes, there is.
Yeah. Oh, that... the Blackhawks?
No, God, no.
No, I'm sorry. Don't stop believing. I'm trying to...
No.
The White Sox.
There it is.
Okay.
All right. 2005 White Sox World Series.
Right. Okay.
Yes.
See, it takes a while for old people.
That was 14 years ago already.
Trust me, in 67-year-old people terms, 14 years ago is like a lifetime.
All right, we're getting texts in already. 773.
That's my excuse.
773 texted in.
Yeah.
Sopranos.
Oh, see, and
that was
I've
the
only
song.
Seen one episode of Sopranos.
Yep, Sox and Sopranos. And also, 708 just wrote in the Bill Clinton election song. I think it was the
really?
The night that they won, or he.
Oh, no,
he
wait, I won. Think that was the... That was
the other one.
The other Don't Stop Believing.
Yeah, I can't even do it. That was Don't Stop Thinking About Tomorrow.
Okay,
Stop
right.
Thinking
by
about Tomorrow. Yeah, them. Yeah. By them. Yeah,
by them.
So it was the very, it was the song that played after they went to black, the very last scene of The Sopranos.
Okay, see, and
it was the White Sox song, and I was, and still am, a huge White Sox fan. That's where my wedding reception was. U.S.
Really?
Cellular Field.
Oh.
Yep.
You are such a fancy person.
Well, you know. So, I was a big... And I was at one of the World Series games.
Wow.
I was at game one of the World Series. So, hey, we got Pride coming up this weekend. Pride Fest. Not Pride Fest.
Pride
Fest was this past weekend.
Right.
Yes, Pride Parade is on Sunday. We're going to talk about that after, in the next segment, in our final segment.
Mm-hmm.
Things to do, no viewing tips, pro tip, as I like to say.
Mm-hmm.
Bring Fruit Loops. That's my pro tip. No, for
Munchies.
Real. No,
Munchies.
No. I'll tell you why. Tell you why you want to bring Fruit Loops or Fruit Loop equivalent cereal.
Okay.
After the break. Hey, Roger, you and I last Friday, this mm-hmm. past week, so actually a week ago, because mm-hmm. sort of, we started talking about the new online app-based game, mm-hmm. Wizards Unite. It is the Harry Potter equivalent of Pokemon Go. Have you been playing, sir?
Task Force Emergency Imminent. Task Force Emergency Approaches on Saturday. Grab your wand. Help the SOS Task Force contain a flare-up of foundables. For a limited time, Inns will provide extra spell energy and care of magical creatures. Traces will award additional family XP. Yes, I have been playing. Uh-huh.
You just updated.
I just fought a... wait, how can I be sitting here and that I'm going too fast? I'm not driving.
Yeah.
I hate when it does that.
So that's an interesting thing. So I started playing this the other day and was completely overwhelmed. Not necessarily in a good way.
Right.
Yes.
There's a
Fleetwood Mac, by the way. Thank you, 224, yeah, Scott from Lyle.
We'll remember these things.
Who texted in that Don't Stop Thinking About Tomorrow is Fleetwood Mac. And that was Bill Clinton's, at least one of the songs.
Right.
So, yeah.
I've been playing it. I'm up to level 7. There are many different sections.
I'm 6 or 7. You can actually see what level I'm on because you and I are
friends. Right. So you've been playing it for a bit here.
I have. I've been taking the dog out on walks. And then I get random texts from my kids.
Yeah.
They're not allowed to text anybody else but me, for emergencies.
Lost a battle.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Never mind. No, that's
yeah,
all right.
maybe don't battle a wizard.
And my ingredients vault is full.
Oh. Congrats.
Well,
See, that's the thing about this game.
Yeah.
And I are grown people.
I do not walk, though, with this.
But,
I'm sorry.
Well, here's the thing. I feel like you could, and it is, there is a lot going on.
Yes.
Multiple levels.
Multiple things.
Yeah. So if you didn't play Pokemon Go, and I didn't, but for you listening, if you did not, in fact, play Pokemon Go, it is basically, it was exercise that kids didn't realize they were doing.
Right.
Because you had to walk around and find these things that needed to be found.
Pokemon.
Yeah, all right.
Right.
So in Wizards Unite, you're actually like helping the Ministry of Magic figure out a mystery.
Yeah.
But there's foundables and there's port keys and there's...
there's battles. You do battles.
You wizard duels.
Yes.
There is a lot.
And potions and.
Yeah, and my kids are like, you wouldn't let us play Pokemon Go, but now you're playing this Harry Potter game.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, but I got to tell you, I don't know that I like it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's.
It's hard.
It's not hard. It's just continuous.
You can play this.
And tedious. You have to be aware. As I did with Pokemon Go, every time some level would come up and you'd have to wait for the points to show up and you had to go through the process before you could do more stuff. I learned that if you just tap the screen, you go through those things like boom, 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 boom.
Right.
So in this, you're getting a lot of text boxes of all the different characters saying, did you hear about the mystery of this?
Yeah, I'm
and you just
thanks,
go.
Thanks, Hermione. I don't care.
Yeah, you just go tap, 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 tap. You're through it real fast. Boom, you're done. You're on to the next thing.
No, I like it for the kids because they're reading.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it for me because but sometimes you're standing there and the dog is done.
Right.
And you can only pretend you're training your dog for so long before the neighbors are like, what is she doing?
Yeah.
This grown woman standing there looking at her phone and you got to spin around and
So it becomes harder and harder to do the further you get with it, too.
So does it?
Yeah.
Ugh, I'm out.
No, come on. You're the only friend I got on this thing.
Well,
I was going to say,
I'm glad you said on this thing, because that's a sad
as
commentary.
We move on,
yes,
it behooves us, boy, I haven't used that word in a while.
Wow.
It behooves us to work together on the more difficult battles that where you might be a specialist in one area and I might be a specialist in another area, and that combined forces can defeat the opposing foes.
Roger, I feel like we could put our efforts towards something that would better the world.
Peace and harmony in our
instead
lifetime.
Of a silly game that does nothing.
Yeah.
Except for makes us go out and walk.
There you go.
So maybe we should come up with
a lot of phone power.
That is another thing.
Oh my God.
So why don't we just chat on the phone about ways to better our community while we're walking?
Are you picking up after the dog?
Of course I am.
Okay, so you're bettering the community.
No. That's just you leave it the way you found it, right? Ooh, that's true. Isn't that, that's, you know, true. Just
yeah, it's common sense.
Basic courtesy.
Yep.
So, all right. So basically we're out. We're not playing the game anymore because it's a waste of our time.
What you mean we, Kimo Sami?
All right. Are you going to Pride Parade on Sunday?
I will be working. In fact, I just posted on Facebook, took one of my memories of, I think, the Pride Parade right, not right after, but the one immediately after my surgery.
Mm-hmm.
So I was recovering now for about 6 months. Oh, my gosh, 6, 7, 8 months I had recovered from my cancer surgery, and I walked.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked the entire route, even though I didn't think I could.
No, but you did it.
And I did it, and I was so excited and happy, and it was a blast. My job was to protect that no one would get pulled under by one of the wheels on the float.
Yes.
That was my job, and I did it like nobody's business.
You did it.
So, unfortunately, I will be working this weekend here, and will be unable to attend. But my I will be with you in spirit, not in body.
Well, we've got your parade and festival viewing tips, pro tips, and the reason why I encourage you to bring Fruit Loops or Fruit Loop equivalent cereal. More, well, all of those tips after this on WGN. Hannah Stanley with you, wrapping up tonight's show on WGN Radio. Happy Friday, everybody. It's already Friday.
Yay!
I know it. Sunday is Pride Parade, one of my favorite Sundays all year. Super fun. Got your tips. Got your tips, people. If you've never been there, one, I super encourage. It is a party. It is a party.
This
good
will
times.
Actually be my first Pride Parade. I've never been.
Really?
Yeah, I've never been.
Oh, my goodness.
So I'm excited.
Fantastic. Let's give you some pro tips.
Please, give me some tips.
Here's the thing. You do not want to wear new shoes. No.
Really?
Mm-mm.
Comfortable shoes.
What's funny, especially if you're marching like with the WGN parade or float or any, if you are physically marching in the parade.
No new shoes.
You will hit your 10,000 steps before you even start.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
There is music and fun, and the taxi cabs can get anywhere near the staging area. So you get dropped off maybe 6 blocks away, and you have to go. So what you want to do is figure out where that float is, where your staging area is, and then get your taxi close enough so you can double around. And the cabs will be like, I can't get you there. I can't. Uber, same. And you go, no, 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 here's where I want you to go. Let's just get me as close as possible.
Nice tip.
And then there's music in the staging area, because you get to the staging area probably an hour and a half early, because otherwise you can't get there.
Right.
And then there's music, and so you're dancing, dancing, dancing. And then I wander around and see
all
friends and look at all the
stuff.
Other floats, because otherwise you don't get to see them.
And, of course, the WGN TV Channel 9 float will be nearby.
Nearby.
And you got to go see Bozo.
You got to go see
and
Bozo.
Dean Richards will be there.
Uncle Dean.
Yeah.
Uncle Tommy Skilling.
Yeah.
Who, by the way, is providing a fantastic forecast for this Sunday.
Yes.
Partly cloudy, 84 degrees is the high.
No rain expected.
Maybe cooler by the lake. We don't know. We'll see. Check out the weather, as I just mentioned, and plan accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy, people, sunscreen.
Oh gosh, yes.
And may I suggest a spray?
A spritz?
Well, a spray sunscreen, so you can do it
you carry it along with you. I was
do it on the fly.
Like a spray of water, too. You know,
also
one of those bottles with the little fan on it.
Also that.
Yeah.
Also, be the person who shares the sunscreen.
Mm-hmm. Enough to go around.
Be the sunscreen provider you want to see in the world. That's my motto. figure out your right situation. Here's the other thing about the parade. It's everybody's like, oh, it's like 3 miles. Yeah, but the problem is you have to walk another 2.5 to find a taxi to get you anywhere else.
Yeah.
Afterwards.
Yeah.
Because there's no taxis. Because once you get dropped off and the parade is over, there's hundreds of floats and people, that becomes a party.
Mm-hmm.
You can't eat. Can't go to the bathroom.
Well, you got
to
walk.
You got
to
walk.
Well, got to walk west.
Andrea Darlis and I once walked back to the station.
That's a healthy walk.
Oh, well, we're healthy people.
I know.
Yeah, we're
but
good.
But you got to go west to find a restaurant or somewhere. You can mm-hmm. catch a little snack and then wait for the crowds to dissipate mm-hmm. and then make your way back to wherever you parked. Or
yeah.
Yeah.
So if you have a place, a friend who goes, hey, we're having a party, make sure you know where that is so you can stop off and use their bathroom.
Yeah.
Because that's hard to find.
In fact, I think that's what happened to us when I walked. We all went over to...
We went to the Target.
Well, that was back at the beginning.
Yeah, that was at the staging area.
But afterwards, we were invited, about six of us were invited over to someone's house.
Mm-hmm.
And, or apartment. As mm-hmm. And we sat, relaxed, and I think we had Skittles.
Of course you did. My favorite quote in the multiple articles that are in front of me is this: don't bring any clothes you don't want to sweat in.
Mm-hmm.
It's the best.
Yeah.
It's the most accurate. What was...
Hello? That was the right answer.
Oh, thank you. I was like, am I late? Did I oversleep?
I knew Roger would like that one.
Golly.
You just see him on the camera right now. Roger, you okay?
I'm fine.
He's still laughing.
Are you laughing at this sound effect or at my reaction?
I'm laughing at the sound effect.
Because I was halfway up in the ceiling tiles. I didn't know what was happening.
I like to surprise you guys once in a while.
Okay.
That was funny.
50, this is the 50th annual Chicago Pride Parade.
Wow.
50th. Yay us. Pride kicks off. The parade starts at noon on the corner of Broadway and Montrose. That is further north than it has been in years past, but not like the past 3 years. This has been the same route.
Oh, okay.
They moved it further north.
But the general route where you go and then eventually end up, same thing as them when I was there.
Same, okay. Same, not
all
different.
Right. All right.
Right. But, and then they end around Lincoln Park Zoo.
Mm-hmm.
Thereabouts. So make sure you park in a legal spot. All of this is kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah.
But here's the one thing. If you're coming to observe, watch, participate,
mm-hmm.
find a spot and kind of stick there.
It's going to be hard to move around, really. It's the spectators.
It is the Boys Town equivalent of Michigan Avenue at Christmas.
Yeah, they pack the sidewalk, so it's real hard to move around.
Mm-hmm. Be prepared.
Yeah.
Lots of water.
Mm-hmm. Hydrate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Even though it's not going to be crazy
mm-hmm.
hot.
It's going to be hot enough.
Hot enough.
I wonder how the humidity... Well, you're closer to the lake, more humidity.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Unless we get a nice lake breeze.
Ooh, that'd be nice.
But we've had it... Well, I've marched in it multiple times, and mm-hmm. I've observed it. I've attended it several times.
Okay.
I don't remember it ever being pleasant. It's always hot.
Not that it's... Yeah, I mean, it depends on your definition of pleasant. I felt comfortable the year I did it. It mm-hmm. was very... By the time it was done, I did not listen to your instructions and did not bring sunscreen and was a little burned.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt invigorated, especially given what I had already been through.
Absolutely. It is a good, healthy walk. There is a lot of love. There's a lot of fun and excitement and happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really, really proud of Molly Pinta, by the way. Youth Grand Marshal. She was on the Today Show not long ago.
Mm.
She is the little girl who... wanted to have pride in her hometown, and she and her parents figured out how to throw a pride parade in Buffalo Grove, Illinois, and it happened 2 weeks ago.
Nice.
She's awesome. She is awesome. She's going to change the world. And she is the Youth Grand Marshal. It's a brand new thing they gave her.
Oh.
I know. Sweet. She's 14 years old.
Yeah.
Love her. Love her. So basically, come, be smart, know that there's security. Don't go crazy. Don't have open alcohol.
And be happy.
And be happy. Roger, it's our song.
That is our song. See, now I'm going to have to go back and do the jib jab. Put us all in the jib jab.
You guys, it has been my pleasure to get to be with you. Hey, I just saw Nick DiGiulio in the hallway, by the way.
He's awesome. Love Nick.
I'm a big fan.
Me too.
He is on.
Yes.
He is on Next.
I am excited. I start with Nick.
You what? Oh yes.
I start with Nick.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
And he was doing the weekend overnight.
Right. And Nick was on also with Steve and Johnny, who were on last night.
Yeah.
See, we're doing. It's all the connected. Circle of life. I make everything come back to Disney at some point during the show. You guys, stay tuned for Nick DiGiulio, who will carry you through the overnight hours. Hannah Stanley with you on WGN. It has been my pleasure to get to spend some time with you tonight.